It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Emory Jones was 16 years old, locked up in a Broward County, Florida juvenile detention facility when a guard began regularly beating him for cursing.
It's right there, the mark right there. You know, he gonna make sure you don't go to the hospital. It don't show, like, later on, he's like, "Ooh, boy, I got you good. Let me see that there."
He's gonna make sure it doesn't show. Emory's story is just one part of an expansive and disturbing Miami Herald investigation into Florida's Department of Juvenile Justice. And after one of as many as 12 teens died under questionable circumstances in detention, senior investigative reporter Carol Marvin Miller and the Miami Herald decided to launch an investigation into the state's juvenile justice system. They published the stories last week, and Carol says what they found was disturbing.
We found primarily a high degree of unnecessary and excessive force by officers and youth care workers, and we found that officers had come up with an idea for avoiding that kind of force directly by outsourcing it to some of the kids in this odd thing we discovered called honey bunning, in which officers and youth workers will designate goons within the facilities who will beat up other kids and be rewarded with a honey bun or a Snickers bar or a McDonald's hamburger. We found a high degree of sexual misconduct on the part of officers and youth workers and a propensity for covering that up. And we found that most of those things were the result of very poor hiring practices in which both the state-run lockups and the privately run commitment centers pay a woeful salary and hire folks who are poorly vetted. We found that some of the youth workers have criminal histories that are not much better than the kids. And the Department of Juvenile Justice was doing a terrible job of vetting those people. Hundreds of youth care workers throughout Florida are washed up prison guards, men and women who had been fired by the Department of Corrections for wrongdoing. And somehow the Department of Juvenile Justice looked at their resumes, confirmed that they had worked for another state agency, but didn't try to figure out what they'd done there and why they left.
You're reporting on a wide range of abusive behaviors here, both on the part of juvenile justice workers and workers fomenting abuse among kids themselves. Is this confined to one facility or two, or is this widespread throughout the state?
It is widespread throughout the state of Florida. The incident that sparked our curiosity was what we believe to have been a honey bunning of a youth at the lockup in Miami, a 17-year-old who was beaten to death by a dozen or more other detained youth. And we wanted to test the theory that this was a systemic problem. So we obtained hundreds and hundreds of investigative reports from State Department of Juvenile Justice. And what we found was that the incidents that concerned us here in Miami were going on all over the state with regard to the mercenary system, the goons. We found incidents of that in Jacksonville, in Tampa, in Okeechobee, in Fort Myers, in Dade, in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale. It's very much a systemic problem.
Your investigation also includes video evidence, surveillance cameras in some of the juvenile justice facilities. There's one video clip of an officer calling for something called youth support. That's what they call it in the hallway. A signal for juvenile detainees to get together, drag another kid into a room, and beat him, all under the supervision of an officer.
That was more common than we expected to find, and it was surprising and disturbing how many incidents of this type of behavior we came across. And not just in the written reports, but in the videos that go with the written reports. There's one video you can see on our website in which two young men are pummeling each other. They are shirtless. They are wearing what appear to be boxing shorts. And there are two officers who are standing by, essentially refereeing And that is one of many videos that we've got available on our site that depict episodes of officer-sponsored boxing matches. And it's why we called the series Fight Club. We were really surprised at how common it was for officers to set up fights. There were allegations that they were betting on the outcome, basically turning troubled kids into gladiators.
What is the State Department of Juvenile Justice saying about your report? What is the governor saying? What's the state saying?
Well, the governor has said nothing. The Department of Juvenile Justice issued a statement a couple few hours after we published. They don't quibble with any of our findings. In fact, they have not taken issue with any of the facts contained in the series. They are upset that they don't feel we gave them adequate credit for some of the reforms that they have made. One of their contentions is that we have not given them proper credit for the dramatic decline in youth crime in Florida. The problem with that reasoning is that youth crime has plummeted throughout the country. Every state in America has experienced a dramatic decline in youthful offense, about 50%, in fact, over the last decade. Our answer to that is that while it is true that there are some very good policies and procedures on the books, and there are some talented, hardworking, and decent people working for this agency, it is hard to look at those videos and hard to read those reports and not conclude that there is something terrible going on within these facilities.
Are other states doing juvenile justice differently? Is there a model of a better way that's available to the governor and to Florida if they look for it?
There is, and it comes from a surprising place. The state of Missouri, which is a very law and order conservative state, implemented what is widely regarded as the most effective, the most progressive, and really the most successful juvenile justice reform model called the Missouri model. And what they did was they closed down the big juvenile institutions, the places that resemble adult prisons, and they house the majority of their juvenile delinquents in group homes, in much smaller home-like settings, where in Florida, youth in commitment facilities mostly sleep in cells with metal slabs. In Missouri, they sleep in bedrooms with bunk beds, and they have quilts, and they can have stuffed animals if they want to. We toured New York City as part of our research, and New York City has implemented a reform program that they called Close to Home, because their philosophy underscores returning kids to neighborhoods and communities under the theory that that's where they do best. And while it is too soon to tell whether New York will be as effective as Missouri, there's no question in my mind that the conditions are more humane. What we saw, we toured a particular group home in Queens, and it looked like a home, like a college frat house where kids were living in bedrooms, again, with carpeting and quilts and all the amenities of home. Just very little resemblance to the razor wire ringed fortresses that we have in Florida.
Carol Marvin Miller, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Carol Marvin Miller is senior investigative reporter for the Miami Herald. You can find a link to the Miami Herald's reporting on our website at thetakeaway.org, and you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Todd Zwillich.